Hey America,
start listening now.
Hey, Danny's back.
Hey. I am. What's on my back?
Oh God.
Oh,
it's getting bigger.
Bigger.
It's bigger. It's bigger than you and me. It's big. And welcome to another bigger episode of 12 Points from America, the Eurovision podcast from America, the country with great mouth feel. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm disgusted.
And I'm Danny. I think we did that one before.
Did we?
I don't know.
Okay.
Not that one, but we did discuss mouth feel. All
right. Yeah. We had a lot of mouth feel discussion, and I think it was the last show.
Yeah, the one that you weren't here for, Danny.
Yeah, what do you think about
picking mouth up on it telepathically? What do I think about mouth feel?
Yeah.
If it's not a starburst, then it's not good enough.
Oh, That's the line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what if we had a starburst that tasted like Mons Zemmerlo's new wine?
We don't know what that tastes like yet.
I know.
Disgusting. Swedish wine?
It's coming from Spain.
Swine, for sure.
Yeah, Swedish wine, but it comes from Spain.
Yeah, speaking of Swedish wine that comes from Spain, Sam, hit him with socials.
Hey, hey! Yep, you can hit us up and talk about our mouthfeel on social media.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Top 10 best mouthfeels in podcasting. Number 1, My Favorite Murder. Number 2,
12 Points from America.
Yeah, we got number 2.
Yeah, we can't compete with that.
Yep. But if you want to discuss it with us, let us know and hit us up on social media at 12 Points USA. It's 12 Points USA on either Facebook or Twitter, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. And we are recording right now episode number 96. As we gear up to episode number 100, which is so close, guys, so close, we want help from all of you listeners. If you have a question for us that you want us to answer, whether it's Eurovision related, whether it's just personal, whether it's completely off the wall, send it our way, either through social media, email us directly. We would love to hear from you.
We already have plenty of contributions.
But we want yours.
We want episode 100 to be absolutely stacked to the max.
Yep.
And by stacked to the max, we mean absolutely insane.
We want it to be bigger than this one. Whatever that means. I don't know how long this show is. It's still being recorded.
Oh, no. What's our biggest? I think our biggest episode was like an hour and 10 minutes, and that was after splitting it in two.
Yeah, something like that.
Some of our ESC previews have gotten in the 75-minute range.
Yeah, because we have too much to drag them over. You know? That's my favorite part. We're getting closer and closer into like the actual Eurovision season. September 1st is like the magic threshold as to when things start heating up. And this week we're supposed to have the news on where in Italy we are supposed to be going. So a lot's going to be happening this week.
Which I guarantee you, we are recording this on Tuesday night, August 31st, which means I absolutely guarantee you that the news will come out of where we're heading tomorrow, September 1st.
It's going to be 10 minutes after we stop recording.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. So,
I know it's like 2 in the morning in Europe right now, but I'm still kind of expecting to somehow get the news like right when we finish, or like right at the end. And then we're wrapping up, and then all of a sudden there's 30 more minutes because we found out where the city is. So look forward to that a few minutes from now, I guess.
If you hear some sort of panicked addendum in our stinger this episode, you know what's going on. So
But happy New Year's Eve in the Eurovision world, everybody.
Woo!
It's time to get hammered and then celebrate the new Eurovision year in which nothing happens.
Yeah.
But something could happen.
The anticipation.
Yes.
So exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Anything could happen. Like, for all we know, it could be Engelbert Humperdinck again. No, it won't be Engelbert.
Christ.
I wouldn't put it past him. Is he still alive? He could do it.
Is he still alive?
He is still alive.
Oh.
Good for him.
Yeah, we'll see.
We have some news from, is this the national finals?
Yeah.
Some updates to formats?
Yeah, exactly. We've just gotten word from Latvia, for example. They are going to be returning to a national final format, most likely in their Supernova sort of setup.
Supernova!
As we know from this past year, I should say, they went just internal, picking Samantatina. As you know, I think that's fair after the cancellation of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be returning to an actual national final. We've also gotten confirmation that there are going to be some changes in Ukraine. Now, for a couple of years, they've had this incredible national final system called Vidbir, which literally, I think, just means selection. But it was a... I know, right? So imaginative. But they had a setup where it was sort of a co-production between the national broadcaster and a commercial broadcaster, with one of them kind of doing the show, the other one doing the sponsorship of the actual event itself.
Ah.
It seems like there's going to be a split, and it's the commercial broadcaster is now no longer going to be involved.
Hmm.
So we'll see how that affects things, either in the programming or
Ukraine's
the budget.
Ukraine's PBS.
Only the P is backwards? I don't know.
But it's going to be... Like, is this going to be like a dip in quality, perhaps?
We have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think the change in network is going to necessarily change the way that the artists are.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
true. But this could lead to their first non-qualification.
Bite your tongue.
I was going to be like, powerhouse of Ukraine. Nothing can stop Ukraine.
Well, just ask Maruv.
I see. Yes, something can stop Ukraine.
there's that one thing for
one
sure.
Thing. Yeah.
I think they'll be all right. I hope they still have a fun show and things like that, even if they have to change it up a little bit. The last two national finals for them have been great.
Oh, yeah.
So
even now that you know that it's just called Selection.
Especially because I know that it was called Selection.
I got to tune in at 8 p.m. to see Selection.
So Eastern European.
Yeah.
Starring one of the Culkin kids.
Yeah.
But which one? Tune in to find out.
Whichever. We've also got some changes from Spain.
Yeah. They're kind of overdue for a bit of a renovation. Yeah.
Yeah, Franco's back in charge.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you, they moved him into that mausoleum and everything went downhill.
Mm-hmm. It's like Poltergeist.
Anyway, what actually
they
happened
have
in
a
Spain?
New pod.
Yeah, besides...
Heads op display.
Yep.
No, it's a Munz's new wine.
Oh,
Hod.
Some new Hod.
It's called Hod. No, who is this Eva Mora?
All right, so yeah, she's the new head of delegation. We know that Spain is kind of undergoing a revamp in their system. They're reviving a national selection in the sort of form of this Benidorm festival that they've had for many years, and they're just bringing in new blood for it. Not only are they having a new head of delegation, they've also announced the creation of a 12-person Eurovision committee with people from all over the broadcasting and music.
A task force.
Basically, to hopefully kind of change their fortunes a little bit, because, yeah.
They suck.
Lavenda was so good, and then it just...
Wasn't.
And then it just pooped out when it came to actually staging it.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the staging for Lavenda was a disaster, and I think the running order didn't really do them a ton of favors either. But...
Spain seems to be afflicted with a very similar curse to what the UK has been afflicted with, but the difference being that Spain is, at least half the time, sending something very good.
And at least they're making efforts to change and to renew and give other strategies a shot.
Yeah, but while the UK is just saying, all right, whatever, we'll do it, we'll play your little Eurovision game, Spain actually seems to be trying.
We'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't possibly do any worse. But that is, it's frustrating every year to see Spain genuinely seem to be putting some effort into it and then getting nothing. It's like everyone gave up on them already.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's such a shame. Because they have, I mean, they've been doing so great at junior.
Yes.
They have two bronze medal finishes in a row. We'll see what they do in Paris this year. But, you know, I would love to see their results of the big show go as well as they do for the kids. Mm-hmm. So
if they could do a top 10, that'd be...
Oh, that'd
an
be like,
achievement, at least.
Absolutely.
I mean, when was the last time they did that?
Give me a second.
Dancing in the Rain?
1968.
2014? Dancing in the Rain?
Yeah, last time in the top 10 was Dancing in the Rain. Was 10th place. Quédate Conmigo from 2012. Also 10th. But not a lot before or after that. If you go back to the early 2000s, they finished in the top 10 4 years in a row from 2001 to 2004, which is kind of wild to think about, I think, because for as long as I've been following this thing, we've had 10th in 2014. That was my first year. But then 21st, 22nd, Do It For Your Lover, 23rd, 22nd, Contest Canceled, and 24th. So, would Universo have done much better than some of these others?
I think.
No.
Nah.
And then again, 2020 was going to be a very, very stacked year.
Yeah.
2020 would have been very strong, if not as strong as 2021 was.
Yeah, I would have been pleasantly surprised to see Universo do much better than...
I think it does better than 24th and 6 points, but it's still, true, yeah. It's right side of the table still.
Yeah.
I would say something like that is still in the 20s. And yeah, it's a terrible high thing.
20s, though.
Maybe. It seems so terrible to say,
but I
remember... I think
Verso would have done better than Tom Lieb.
Oh, yeah.
We could have at least.
Ah, our favorite French punching bag, Tom Lieb.
Tom France.
Yes.
Also, I noticed this just now, and I'm really happy to have noticed this. That Voy a Quedarme got more points than Do It for Your Lover did.
Yay! Okay, so that's a little bit of justice.
That's a win for Spain, anyway. Yeah, Spain can host next year.
6-5. Has it turned out?
Blas can actually sing, though.
Yeah, he can.
He did those high notes.
He did.
Well...
Yeah.
Yeah. He got there. Yes. Switzerland also has a new head of delegation. Yes. The villain from Casino Royale.
Yeah.
Le Chiffre. In typical Switzerland fashion, it looks like we've got a French first name and a German surname. Is this Yves Schifferle? You know,
Schifferle.
That's what I'm seeing here. Yeah, I'm sure his middle name is probably Antonio or something. Yeah. I don't know what a traditional Romanche name would be.
It's all consonants. I know that.
Sounds about right.
So we got Spain, though. They're switching gears. Obviously, they couldn't possibly do any worse.
Right.
But then Switzerland's been doing great. It seems kind of like an odd time to be like, all right, let's just change everything.
Well, I mean, Switzerland came in second, right?
Third.
Was it second? Third. Third. Yes.
Yeah.
But they won the job.
Oh, we came in third! My God, we gotta switch up everything!
Well, I mean, just because there's a head of delegation switch doesn't necessarily mean they're switching everything around. It's, you know, it could be, you know, a rotation. Who knows what the system over at the Swiss TV is.
Yeah, because we saw, like, with France, when they switched as a delegation in 2016, they came in sixth.
Yeah.
So they went from, like, 24th or 5th in 2015 to, like, 6th place.
Oh, so they're going to finish negative 15th next year. Okay. just a turbo score of some sort.
For all we know, Schifferle's predecessor may have just handed him a big old binder and says, all right, this is what we did the last 2 years, just do this. And maybe he'll just take that and run with it. Or maybe he'll just, you know, find a nice Swiss shredder. And
then he threw it over his shoulder, out through an open window, and it exploded.
Yep.
The defenestration of Bern, I guess.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're also putting together a really big panel for the internal selection process. Unlike the 12-person panel that Spain is going with, this is apparently 100-plus people.
Oh, God, but that's what Germany's done recently, and we see how well that's worked out.
You're telling me they had that many people, and they still landed on Gendrick?
Listen, the wisdom of crowds works every time, except for Eurovision.
I guess. Well... Switzerland has been on a small tear. They finished fourth in 2019, third in 2021. They've got nowhere to go but either up or down, or the same.
Switzerland could stay in the top 10 for the next 10 years. My God, they'd be happy, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And honestly, we would all be happy because we wouldn't necessarily have to pay for Swiss prices and lodging for the next
year
for
2 weeks.
I mean, it feels like they want to win, though.
I know.
Yeah, they really do, and they're getting close. They're sending great acts all the time. Great modern acts,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely, but host it in Geneva so I could stay on the French side of the border and save a couple of euro. Oh, God.
Camp on one of those inflatable air mattresses just in the middle of Lake Geneva.
Yep. Ooh. Just floating on Lake Le
Mans.
Yes. Push off from the shore.
I woke
every night.
Up and I was halfway to Lyon. Anyway, we do have some.
You drift under the jet d'eau and that's your shower in the morning.
I swear to God, if you roll into the press center having showered under a waterfall.
You see, I know that we have listeners in Geneva, so hopefully they're finding this really amusing.
I woke up in a French perfume commercial.
Ego East! I'm sorry.
One of our last big sections of news, though, has to do with JESC, which is, I mean, my God, when is that?
That is the Sunday before Christmas.
Yeah, there December 18th or so.
Yeah, 19th, I think, isn't it?
Okay.
One of those. One of those. But yeah, and because it is so Christmassy in that time of year, it's normally around Thanksgiving or, you know, our...
oh my God, it's going to be Paris at Christmas
it
time,
is,
too. Like, they're going to go full tilt.
Well, I mean, have you seen the logo?
Yeah, I have seen the logo. It's like doing triple duty as like the Eiffel Tower and a Christmas tree and like Beam Me Up Scotty, so...
And the Hallmark logo.
A little, yeah.
So are you saying that Candace Cameron Bure is going to be hosting this thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Crap. Cancel.
Meredith Baxter Burney is going to guest host.
Oh, man.
Well, that's that a reference. Sucks.
Okay, who do we have in JESC this year? We had some drops, yes? Australia dropped out?
Yeah, we have official word that Australia is dropping out, which mm-hmm. honestly, it stinks, but I can't blame them with everything yes. that's going on. Mm-hmm. But we have word that if Italy is officially back in. They had originally said, nah, we're not going to do it this year. We got too much.
They won Eurovision. They want to play.
They're in. They're back in.
They're doubling down.
Yeah.
Yeah, double or nothing.
That's right.
France, I can't believe...
Get to host this one, too.
I can understand why we're waiting on Armenia to be in JESC. I feel like that's a coin flip sometimes. But I can't believe we're waiting on Kazakhstan. Isn't it just, like, accepted?
I would love to see Kazakhstan back in, but I don't know if they're extra...
Killing it the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have definitely, in all caps, gone for it mm-hmm. For as long as they've been doing this. So I yeah. would think they'd be chomping at the bit to go again. But
I would hope so. But I don't know if they have extra hoops to jump through because technically they're associate members of the EBU, not full members. I don't know if there's some extra paperwork that's got to be signed or
it's
what.
It's been easy enough for them to pass.
I don't know. I don't know, Danny.
I'm just still waiting for Kazakhstan to come to the big contest itself.
Oh, gosh. I mean, if you've seen some of the stuff that they sent to Turkvision, like, yeah. my God, yes, please, all of that. My God, yes. Yes. Izin Kurem is an amazing track if you haven't heard it, but we'll voice that upon you at some point, Danny.
Yes.
So yeah, at this point we have 16 countries confirmed so far. I'm sure that by the time we record our next episode, we'll have more confirmations one way or another. But the fact that we have an extra month before,
yeah.
you know, this is normally November, so the fact that it's in December now, they can kick the can a little bit longer. We have gotten word that there are three potential scenarios for the actual hosting of the event.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they were so flexible about the big contest this year? You know, this A, B, C, D scenarios.
Is it just basically the same thing?
It's a little bit more optimistic. They basically have it down to three potential scenarios. A is if everything were completely normal. No restrictions, you know, back to normalcy. I'm optimistic, but it's not going to happen. Option B is more like what we had at Eurovision 2021, where they'll have live-to-tape performances in the back pocket just in case. There'll be lots of social distancing, lots of testing to make sure that press and crew and all the artists are doing okay. And C is basically like B+. So it's C, but with a lot more flexibility for people with travel restrictions, so they can kind of, you know, do a remote thing if they needed to for certain delegations.
Like but Australia had to this year?
Basically. So like a scenario like last year's Junior, which is basically everybody remote except for the host, that's not on the table this year.
Good.
So there will be something going on in Paris.
Mm-hmm. It's just that weird scenario, everyone having to like do their own thing in their like national broadcaster studio. Just having to send out all those delegates to all the different countries. This is just much easier and more normal, and they've done it before. And it's Paris.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, I mean, of course, they have to kind of play a lot of this stuff by ear, but well, I'm sure we'll find out more details of what they've kind of settled in on as we get closer to December. Anyway, moving away from Junior Eurovision, we have some Billboard Hot 100 news here in the U.S. We have both Duncan and Måneskin making it into not just the top 100, but the top 30 of the American pop charts, which is crazy.
This is so wild.
Mm-hmm.
Arcade is at 30 and Beggin' by Måneskin is at number 29 as of this week's charts. So holy crap, you guys.
Yeah, the Dunk has been on the Hot 100 for 20 consecutive weeks now and has only been moving in an upward trajectory, which is wild.
Yeah.
20 weeks is a lot for anything. I think it's crazy that probably multiple times a day somewhere in the United States, there are top 40 radio stations playing Duncan Lawrence and Måneskin back to back. That's 6 whole minutes of Eurovision content right in a row.
But the thing is, I guarantee you, the vast, vast majority of people have no idea where these two songs came from.
Mm-mm. Oh, no, I definitely not. I was out with some friends, with my girlfriend probably a couple months ago or thereabouts, and we were at a bar and Arcade started playing over the bar. The barcade. You know,
overhead, yeah.
Overhead, radio, yeah. Liz and I kind of looked at each other like, oh, that's Arcade. This is that song that won Eurovision. We're all excited, and the people we're with, like, don't know why we're excited. And we explain, like, oh, yeah, this is a song from Eurovision. This is from a couple years ago. And a couple of the folks we were with, who I think are a little bit younger than we are, were like, oh, yeah, this is that song from TikTok. I know this song. Hey, we're thinking, like, you know, however you can get it, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, people definitely know this song pretty well here without necessarily knowing that Eurovision has anything to do with it.
Right.
Here's the reason why I'm weirded out why Beggin' is slightly higher. Beggin' is just like, that's rock. It has a very unique sound, especially these days. However, Arcade seems perfectly fit to play very echoey in every deserted mall in America. You know, so I'm thinking, why isn't it higher?
Why isn't it higher? Well, it probably will get higher.
Mm-hmm. Take it all the way to number one. Talking to you, Olivia Rodrigo. He didn't even have to rip off Paramore.
Oh, he went there.
Yeah, take that,
Paramore.
Whoever feels,
I mean, this
that
this,
taken.
This all just reminds, like, I remember when I was a kid, and like basically one of the last Eurovision songs to really make it decently big on the American pop charts was Gina G's Ooh Ah Just a Little Bit, which would have been 96.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that there was this upbeat pop song, but I had no idea that it was a Eurovision song until, you know, 10, 15 years later when I started really learning about the contest. And it's just sort of like, what else was I missing? You know, like, it's like,
Opera. Yeah, opera.
Not much.
You think
else.
You're lucky, stars. You open that Pandora's box, you deal with everything that's in it.
I know. Opera.
Seeing as how it took like a couple years for Arcade to suddenly become a full bona fide hit here,
mm-hmm.
are there any others from the last couple years that you could see suddenly showing up like this?
I don't think so. I think Arcade only has traction because it was the winner. I mean, there's songs that I think are much better than Arcade.
There are a lot of songs that are better than Arcade, I think.
But I think it just has the traction because it was the winner, and America is really sort of having Eurovision tamped down its throats with a chimney sweep brush right now.
What?
With the... you know, you can visually, yeah, with the movie and the fact that, like, the American Song Contest is happening, Amerivision, you know.
I think the genesis of the song on TikTok, though, was in this sort of kind of sad, melancholy memery, wasn't it? Like a Harry Potter thing or something like that?
I don't know.
It's like people shipping Draco and Hermione or something.
In 2021?
I don't know.
They still haven't read another book, man. It's always going to be
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's very hetero for fanfic.
Yeah. Well, Dottie Frere became a big thing on TikTok, too.
Yeah, with the dance, yeah.
But that was with Think About Things, even. Mm. That was during the pandemic, even.
That didn't chart, though.
No,
like,
it didn't.
That wasn't that didn't get, like, the radio airplay.
Not in the U.S., no.
I feel like it could, though. If the right people discover it, or it somehow kind of had, like, a meme it would kind of take off again.
Now that there is Peacock, now that people are aware that Eurovision is a little bit weird and that Peacock is going to have it next year free to stream,
ooh,
like it was this year, hopefully.
Yeah.
I think they have said that they do. Netflix said the same thing, but then COVID happened, so it's hard to say. But Pants should have it next year.
Good. Eric, you, I will say, as we get near the end of news, Eric wrote a note here on our sheet saying that he has a dumb rumor that he wants to highlight.
Yeah, so this is another thing you missed. We have a new recurring thing called the dumb rumor of the week. Because there's always some insane thing that people are talking about.
Somebody's trying to galaxy brain Eurovision.
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
And this one is not as big of a rumor that like got reported on the way that the rumor of Mika hosting next year got reported on.
What?
Yeah.
This is when you go up to the Boundary Waters.
Oh, I see. I go up to the Boundary Waters and people are like, Mika's going to host. Mika wouldn't host.
We know.
I could have told you this.
Don't you listen to our show, Danny?
I never
have the show.
No. Can't listen to his own voice. Something like that. Anyway, here's what I've got this week. This is not something that is being reported on by, you know, the big Eurovision news sites or anything like that.
We got a scoop.
But it got the tiniest amount of traction on an engagement on Twitter, and it's so insane that I just kind of want to amplify.
I'm bracing myself.
And that is uh-huh. that.
Yes.
Come on.
Big surprise returning act.
Bring it.
To Melfest.
Oh, God.
Next year.
Oh, yes. God.
Because they're dropping a new single at the start of September.
Yes. Oh, God. You're not saying it's...
I'm saying ABBA's coming back to Melfest. That is the rumor that at least a couple of people are trying to put out there into the world. That's right. One of the responses to said rumor was
I don't think they could do it physically. I don't think the pacemaker's going to hold up.
That's what the song is
How
about.
How old are they? Like, they're in their, what, 60s? 70s? 60s, easy. 70s, probably.
Quick, to the internet. You know,
it's been like 50 years.
Poor Agneta is probably just, you know, being held together with wire.
Yeah, but they're probably all still very pretty still. I mean...
They're Swedish.
Yeah, Agneta's 71.
Bjorn is always doing, you know, interviews.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that... Obviously, that's ridiculous. But the thing that was more ridiculous was the thought that...
Yes?
I don't have the tweet in front of me, but it was basically that... I wonder if ABBA would consider coming back because of Måneskin's success.
Connect the dots
from one
connect
rock band to another?
I don't know. To which another person thought, well, perhaps they'll collaborate.
What?
ABBA-skin?
What?
See, here's the other thing. Obviously none of this is true, but I'd like it to be.
I mean, honestly, I could totally see Bjorn and or Benny composing something. For
yes.
Måneskin.
Yeah, because they'll never stop.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I can imagine Måneskin covering One Night in Bangkok and making it, like, a new classic.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Like,
let's will that into existence.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, Damiano with that spoken word bit, mm-hmm. that kind of strutting. Yeah, make a hard man humble. Come on, bring it. Make the tough
make
guys.
Make a humble man hard, too. Ooh. Anyway.
Sorry, what?
No?
What?
Where are we in Bangkok when this happened?
The queens we use were not excited here.
So, that's the terribly dumb rumor of the week this week. I hope to have something even more real and even more dumb than ABBA coming back.
The thing is, the closer and closer we get to the actual contest, the more these rumors will have some germ of truth inside of them. I feel like it's only going to get more fun as we move on.
I mean, there are the ones that happen every year. Like, Lady Gaga is going to be there. There's always one of those.
Madonna
will be here again.
Oh, speaking of that, they have officially said they are not joining.
Boo.
Liechtenstein said no this week, and Monaco also said no this week.
Dang it, you microstates. You always break my heart, except for you, San Marino.
Except for San Marino, never break my heart. Absolutely never. You live up to my expectations every single year, San Marino. You're the MVP of the contest.
We love you, San Marino.
That's it. End the show right there. We don't need a big story.
So you can reach us on Twitter.
A couple other pieces of fun news before we do the sad news, because that's our oeuvre now. Mm-hmm. We recently had, and by we I mean somebody, I don't know, the Dorian TV Awards, which are put on by the LGBTQ Critics Association, something to that effect. Huh. Heard about this from our friends over at the Euro What? Shout out to them, by the way. They noted, just looking at the list of winners, a lot of wins for Pose. And
well deserved.
Yeah.
Great show.
Some other things that you would expect. However, the winner of Campiest TV Show at the Dorian Awards was none other than the Eurovision Song Contest.
Well, hey, wait, who were we up against? Mm-hmm. And we as if it were my show.
Yeah. who? Let it go, Sam.
What was ESC being called a TV show? It's like calling the Super Bowl a TV show. It feels weird.
I mean, it kind of is a TV show.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's all scripted.
TV event. But
also grammatically speaking, would it be campiest? Because that means the base word would be campy, not just camp. It would be campiest, wouldn't it?
The camp? Most camp.
Most camp? Campiest?
The campiest. Yeah, both forms are acceptable.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So the exact name of the award is Campiest TV Show. Here's what it was up against and beat. At Home with Amy Sedaris. Okay. Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Wow.
Sure.
We beat Dolly.
Yeah. Ratched.
Oh, God, no. And the thing, for something to be camp, it actually has to be good.
And WandaVision.
WandaVision?
How, really?
No wonder Eurovision won.
Take that. It's the WandaVision versus Eurovision battle that we've all been
expecting. MCU wishes it could be camp. Can't be camp if you're military propaganda.
WandaVision didn't go home empty-handed. It won Most Visually Striking Show, whatever that means.
Sure.
So, yay.
The animators went on strike.
And I think I saw that Catherine Hahn won for, like, best Supporting lesbian? Actress. Okay.
Best TV musical performance for WandaVision. Agatha? And Best Supporting TV Performance. Catherine Hahn really did great.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with that.
Join us for our spinoff podcast, All Things Catherine Hahn.
It was Danny all along.
Yeah, I wish.
One other little bit. There are always new songs by Eurovision artists coming out. I always forget to mention them because there's just always so many of them. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I want to make a point to talk about Luca. How do you say her last name? Kreisberger.
Crispers, I think.
Crispers. Yeah.
Crispers, like the crisper door.
Yeah, Luke. Yeah.
The bread's on the inside.
Yeah. Like a reverse Juicy Lucy. Yeah. Luca, the former singer of Hoover Phonic, has finally released her debut solo single.
Yay, Luca!
In some recent interviews, she's expanded more about how that all went down. And her dissatisfaction with it, understandable. But she's also noted that she would still like to get her shot at Eurovision at some point. And I would like to tell all the folks in charge in Belgium who I know listen to this show, maybe think about it.
I'd be down for it. Give her a shot. I mean, I think they're switching to the French broadcaster or the Walloon broadcaster next year for 2022. But yeah, 2023 when it's back to the Flemish. Give her the ticket. What the hell? Why not?
Yeah. The single is called Not Too Late, and it's really nice. It's a good pop tune.
Sweet. So I'm assuming you could just find that on the normal streaming services?
It's on the Tube of You.
Ah.
And some others, I imagine.
Just came out a few days ago.
Yeah.
It's very different than the Hoover Phonic thing, which was kind of surprising.
Yeah, this is a more... This is going to sound derogatory, and it's not meant to be, but a more straightforward pop song than the more art pop, trip hop inspired sort of thing that Hoover Phonic tends to put out. Hoover Phonic has a new tune as well, don't they? As of a month or so ago, I don't know. A lot of acts have new songs. What was I listening to? Panda has a new song. Mm-hmm. The one from Austria from a couple years ago.
Senek.
That's a good one.
Senek's got a great new track.
Yeah, it's a good one. I'm just looking at acts I've recently added to my iTunes to see who's here. Jacob Karlberg, noted Melfest performer that I quite like, has a new song. That's pretty good. Leslie Roy, I'll Be Fine, has a really nice one as well. And... Point being, all songs are good. Listen to them, except the UK. Anyway, let's go to a little bit of a sadder note that's going to divert us into our main topic for the day. That's not just news.
Yeah, this was a tough one. It's always really sad to say goodbye to anybody in the Eurovision family, people that we've gotten to know over the years. But this one really hits kind of close to home. We here in Minnesota are a proud, proud community of Eurovision lovers. And so we say really goodbye to one of our own, not just a Eurovision fan, but really a member of the family. A very sad goodbye this week goes to Igor Volkovinsky. Born in Ukraine, moved to Rochester, Minnesota as a child to be able to access the healthcare over the Mayo Clinic. And was known as America's tallest man, actually. He was 7'8". 8.3 inches. If you're going for metric, it's 234.5 centimeters was his claim to fame. But he was, even though he was living here, he was incredibly proud Ukrainian American, and he ended up getting tapped by the Ukrainian delegation back in 2013 to be part of the team with Zlata Ognievich and literally carrying her onto the stage for her song Gravity, which came in third place that year. And he was a really unforgettable part of the scene. You couldn't miss the man. He was 7'8". But I had the chance to chat with him in Malmö And he was just the coolest guy. Super, super nice. When he realized I was from Minnesota, we chatted for a while. Just really, really chill. And it meant so, so much to him to be able to step up for his birth nation the way that he did. Especially when you realize, like, again, I keep coming back to the 7 foot, 8.3 inches, 234.5 centimeters.
He's a big fella.
Yeah. I mean, shaking his hand was like putting my hand in a catcher's mitt. It was, you think about, like, with his size came a number of health issues. And you have to think about the things that he went through, even just to get to Malmö. Even in a international, like intercontinental airline flight, even if you have the nicest lay flat seats, those are generally 6'6" at their longest. So imagine trying to get yourself comfortable on an international flight going from Minnesota to, in this case, Sweden, and you can't get comfortable. You can't figure, I mean, 7'8". And he, you could tell that he was in discomfort. But he was still incredibly proud to stand up and be part of Team Ukraine. It really, really meant a lot to him.
Yeah. Igor was, besides myself, the only person I've ever encountered who was a big fan of both Eurovision and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I really wanted to be his friend, and then that didn't happen, and now he's passed. And honestly, I don't mean to sound cavalier about that or anything. It really is a sad thing and a reminder that you don't know how much time you or anybody else is going to have. And it really is a bummer. It feels very on the nose to say larger than life, but well, sure. Fine.
Yeah. So we really just wanted to take a moment to honor Igor and his memory and the impact that he had on the delegation and on that performance that year. Like, if you saw Gravity, you couldn't forget Igor. You really, really couldn't. And to just a great guy, a humble guy who, you know, was just thrilled to be a part of what he was a part of. Igor, cheers to you.
Rest in peace. Friend of the show, even if you didn't know it, Igor Vovkunsky. Godspeed.
Godspeed, man.
So, in his honor, we've decided to talk about other things at Eurovision that were big. He was definitely the biggest, shall we say, stage performer in the history of the contest, as far as I know. I mean, he must have been.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, Kirkorov's tall. He's not that
big. I mean, Dani Freire is, you know, what,
6'10", 6'11".
So almost a full foot taller than Dani Freire.
That's wild. Yeah, there's a photo going around. I'm going to go back to basketball for a second. I'm sorry. Of Igor. The Wolves treated him to a game back in, probably around the same time he was doing the Eurovision thing, now that I think about it. And, you know, they touted him as, you know, the world's biggest Timberwolves fan, just physically. And there's a picture of him next to Nikola Pekovic, who was the center for the Timberwolves at the time, who is one of the largest men I have ever seen in person. Just a giant, just pure muscle and huge. He's from Montenegro. He's apparently a drug lord there now. And yes, seriously.
Well, that's conversation turned.
Yeah, but
so he's big in Montenegro.
Yeah, he's big in he's big everywhere. But he's I'm gonna show you guys. You're not gonna be able to see this on the podcast because it's because it's a piece of audio that you're listening to. But
you might be able to tweet this.
Yes, of. When Peck, the basketball player, met Igor. And this photo is just absolutely extraordinary. Yeah, here it is. The man on the right is the one I mentioned was one of the largest men I've ever seen. And he looks tiny next to this dude.
Yeah, I mean, after Igor passed, I put a photo up of me standing next to him. And
oh, that's right.
I'm not a short woman. I'm 5'7". I can't do that, you know, in my head to centimeters, but you know, I'm
like
I'm 38. Average. I am 38 centimeters
sure.
At least. Yes.
Do math.
I mean, I'm an average sized, you know, American female, and he's literally head, shoulders, and torso taller than me. And yeah, the scale of the dude. Anyway, in Igor's honor, we wanted to shine a light on some of Eurovision's biggest numbers, biggest acts, biggest things, really. And where do we want to start, guys?
Biggest country. It's Russia.
Oh, good. Next.
There. Okay.
All right. Let's just knock these out. Just
check that one off. Okay. And done.
Biggest blunder. Arcade winning.
Hey.
Oh. All right. We won't. That is probably a blunder.
Okay.
Not the biggest.
Satellite.
Yeah, satellite winning. Okay. Hey. You and I can agree on that one. What is the biggest venue? What is the biggest venue that Eurovision has been at?
All right. Well, I'm finding sort of conflicting stats on this one. I believe people have been saying the Parken in Copenhagen, which would have been the host in 2001, was the largest.
That wasn't the converted one, was it?
No.
No, not the converted dock.
No, that was about a decade later or so. But the Esprit Arena, now it's called the Märker Spiel Arena in Düsseldorf, also had about the same size, about an audience of approximately 38,000 apiece. Now, nowadays, Eurovision tends to have an audience of about 10 to 18,000 in-house.
That's huge.
It's still massive. So the Düsseldorf Arena, in total, can hold up to 66,500 for concerts.
Hang on, I'm going to do a spit take.
That way.
Yeah. Dude, your computer. Oh, man.
It's a Mac.
Fair.
Yeah, Macs are invulnerable, see?
The Parken in Copenhagen, its biggest audience that they logged was about 60,000 for a Michael Jackson show back in 1997. Mm-hmm. So, from what I can tell, the Parken had the largest audience, but the Esprit, now the Märker Spiel Arena in Düsseldorf, was the actual largest venue. So, I'm splitting hairs.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, how about biggest lineup in Eurovision history?
Oh, like the most competing artists?
Yeah.
Is that 2018? Like, that was my first year, I'm pretty sure. 44?
One of them.
43?
43, yeah. There were 43 songs in 2008, 2011, and 2018. Oh, good memory, God, Danny. Yeah. Now, interestingly enough, there are a couple of years with 42 songs, but they had originally planned to have 43 and tying the record as well. So in 2009... Georgia was originally supposed to be in it, but the contest was held in Moscow, so their original song, We Don't Want to Put In, was unfortunately disqualified before political content.
Oh, why?
We don't... The negative mood is killing the groove. Yeah, so they...
We've just given them chance to refinance.
Oh. So yeah, so back to 42 for that one. A couple years later, in 2012... when it was held in Baku, Armenia actually was originally planning to participate in Azerbaijan, which would have been an incredible, incredible...
A diplomatic thing. Coup.
Yeah. But they ended up withdrawing due to security concerns.
Yeah.
Which I completely understand, completely get. And they were back in 2013. 2016, we were on track to have 43 songs as well for the event in Stockholm. But Romania was actually disqualified by the EBU, not for the content of the song.
For doping.
That's how they sing so fast.
Oh, they had to compete as what the
Eurovision Rome. Athletes from Romania.
Yes, yeah. That's it.
They were actually disqualified by the EBU basically for not paying their bills.
So they were ready to go and everything.
Yeah,
too.
I kicked out of the hotel room.
Yeah, we had the song. We had
Moment of Silence by Ovidiu Antón.
Moment of Silence, indeed.
When did they end up dropping?
Like April?
Yeah, it was like the last...
Oh, wow.
It was a very late change.
It was
they were still in the program.
Yeah, they were.
Huh.
Like, you literally showed up in like the printed material list.
Yes, the printed materials list of Romania.
Wow, guys!
Wow.
Yeah.
They had the bios and pictures of the band and everything.
They had a spot in the running order, all that stuff, but gone. Which was actually
kind of... had to go through all the light cues quickly between
acts. It was actually very sweet. The singer from Moldova that year actually led all the singers in a rousing chorus of Moment of Silence, which doesn't, you know, have the same chorus as, you know, 4 minutes, 33 seconds or anything.
Nothing like a rousing Moment of Silence.
All right, the following year, 2017, when it was held in Kiev, Russia was originally planning on participating, but they ended up having to withdraw due to the issue of their original singer, Yulia Samoylova, who, of course, we saw in 2018, having performed in Crimea. which, of course, the Ukrainians and their border sensibilities were not really down with that. Uh-huh. So there was a lot of tit for tat and back and forth and back and forth. So eventually, Russia just withdrew and turned a 43-song contest into 42 again. Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to give it to Ukraine for being the ones that didn't blink on that. Mm. Or I guess I should say, we didn't know if Ukraine was going to give and Russia would compete. Because it's Russia, they got to be there or whatever. Or they would stick to their guns. And Russia would kind of had no choice but to drop out. And that's ultimately what happened. I feel like they knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
That you put a nice young gal in a wheelchair on stage and dare them to say no.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Ukraine was like, no. So, good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah. Now, changing tack a little bit, we talked about the biggest roster of songs, but for biggest single event, for the largest final, in 2015, there were actually 27 countries in the final.
Why?
Welcome, Australia.
Oh!
Yeah. Australia got fast passed.
That's right. So they got to go through, so it's a big six.
For their one appearance. Their special appearance that will happen only this time and never again.
We're just going to try it out.
It's like, oh, crap, they're actually really good.
Oh, no, they almost won.
They almost won.
As it turns out, the average result rate from going 27th in the final is pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks, Statmotron.
Yeah. However,
it was Italy that year.
27 countries. Still not the biggest Eurovision event of any kind that there's been.
Yes.
That is because back when there was one semifinal and they crammed everyone into it in 2007, and this turned out to be the last year they had only one semifinal, because there were 28 songs in that event, bigger than any final that has ever been held.
I can't believe it. You come to the semifinal, it lasts 4 hours.
I mean, keep in mind, they don't do the whole readout of the voting in semifinals, but still, what a marathon.
It was 2007, so it was just jury, right?
No, it was both.
Oh, it was both. At that point.
Actually, at that point, it was all televote, I think, with only backup juries just in case. But
just in case what?
Technical difficulties, you know, things like that. So totally reasonable for them to put in a second semifinal the following year.
For the record, just looking at Eurovision Archive on YouTube, assuming this is correct and there's no, like, padding at the beginning or end, that semifinal was 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Huh. That's positive.
What?
They really streamlined it.
They didn't have any of this jibber-jabber in the green room.
You know, those fins. You know,
it's the Nordic efficiency. Yeah.
The final itself was longer.
Well, yeah.
Because it had, stuff. But that is shorter than I would have guessed the semifinal.
For sure.
That's just a little bit of light evening entertainment. Really.
What's the biggest broadcast in terms of just running time? Is it 2019 because of Madonna?
It very well could have been. That seemed to last
that
forever.
Madonna,
but I'm not sure if
Quavo
it was actually
thing was like 14 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it actually just felt like it was lasting forever or if it actually really was lasting a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Just looking at overall records of the Eurovision Song Contest here. Tel Aviv 2019, 4 hours and 11 minutes.
Yeah.
That is the biggest contest there is. I recall the one this year getting close to 4 hours.
I could literally watch Gone with the Wind and be like, oh, and they're still not done voting.
No. Just watch Gone with the Wind and then tune in to see who won.
Okay, so let's change a little bit. The biggest number of debuting nations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tie for this one.
Yes.
First, of course, 1956, where everybody was debuting.
The debut of France! Wow!
Ye gads!
They got to sing twice.
Oh, 1956 is such a weird contest. I wish we were able to see it. Anyway, it ties with 1994, where there are 7 countries also participating. That sort of influx of nations
Russia? Is this a bunch of the ex-Soviet countries coming in?
Yes, exactly. I mean, not just ex-Soviet, but also just,
just more folks from Eastern and Central Europe.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, Yugoslavia was
there since the floodgates really opened at around that point. We had a lot of debuts around then. There were a few in 1993 as well, I think, but 1994 was the year that had the most of them.
Yeah, we had debuts from Estonia, Hungary, Lithuania, Poland, Romania, Russia, and Slovakia.
Ooh.
With some of those countries actually doing really, really well. Poland mm-hmm. came in second, Hungary came in fourth, and then at the bottom, Estonia and Lithuania bringing up the rear, including a nil pointer from Lithuania.
Well, thank God they stuck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they could rest on their laurels from We Are the Winners.
Gosh. Yeah. On a similar note, the biggest jump in participants, so not necessarily all debuts, but just...
people coming back and debuts.
Right. In 2004, when they introduced the semifinal concept for the first time, they went from 26 countries the year before to 36. That is by far the biggest change in terms of the size of the contest ever.
Oh, yeah.
Was
Italy back at that point then?
No. They were gone from 1997 was their last until 2011.
2011, wow.
Yeah, so they were gone for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Conversely, the biggest change in loss of participants, so the roster going from something big to something not so big.
What year would have made people the angriest?
Well, honestly, that's kind of where the answer comes from
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Because in 1970, the year after there was a four-way tie,
yeah.
four nations were just like, this is dumb, we're not coming back.
So, who were those nations, by the way? It'd be great if just like, Spain didn't get to host again, so they just dropped out.
I don't think so.
We can't get Salvador Dali again, so like, what's the point?
Now, Finland, Norway, and Sweden all bowed out.
Norway really got, you know, chintzed yeah. out on that one. Norway had a fine song.
Yeah. They did.
And Portugal also opted to not come back.
Ah, noted Scandinavian nation, Portugal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. What's some other... big boys.
Yeah, I think this is a more of a question for you and the Statmotron, Eric. We have questions on the biggest scores.
Biggest scores. Well, we all know the biggest score of all time.
Salvador.
That's right. Sonantatina. Followed closely by Salvador Sobral. Obviously, Salvador Sobral, only artist to surpass 700 points in a final. Mm-hmm. Biggest score by a pretty big margin. Would you care to guess, though, the biggest margin of victory?
So it's not
that one. In terms of pure points, uh-huh. the biggest margin of victory. It is not Salvador.
Wait, I think we talked about this before. Is it Arcade?
No.
Okay.
It's not Fairy Tale, is it?
Yes, Sam, it is Fairy Tale. that is...
by how many?
169 points.
2008? 2009.
2009.
What came in second?
387 points. Is it true?
Is it true?
Is it true?
Yeah.
Could be.
With 218 was the second highest. That was an absolute just beatdown.
Oh, yeah.
Fairy Tale's win was... Mm-hmm.
That was just dumb.
Now, neither of those have, not Amar Pelestroich or
Fairy Tale,
the one we were just talking about, have the highest semifinal score of all time.
Huh.
What do you guess is the highest semifinal
all
score?
Of the semifinals? I will tell you,
it's, yeah, it is the only song to get 400 points from a semifinal.
Christ.
Yeah, 403 to be exact.
Is it Chris?
It is Chris.
It's Chris! Oh, my boy!
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so
our boy!
Best semifinal performance of all time is Beautiful. That's 2017.
Best song to not win, my mm-hmm. God.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so second highest score in the history of the Eurovision Song Contest, and had the distinct misfortune of running against the song with the highest score in the Eurovision Song Contest.
That's dumb.
Shocking to think that the two highest scores... were in the same year.
Like, everything else was cleaned out. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. all of the votes went to those two.
But everyone else got some points. I mean, this year we had 4 zeros in a row.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People still got points in 2016.
Yeah, I was... After those zeros came in, I was kind of expecting something to get to that high 500, 600 range for this past contest.
No,
but
just everything
they didn't.
To that
it was
five.
524 was Monison's,
yeah.
Monison's
like
total.
And France was 499.
Yeah.
They were pretty close.
But it was just mm-hmm. cleaned out at the bottom and everything close at the top.
Yeah. Speaking of margins of victory, this is the opposite of what we're talking about for the most part, but I'm going to quiz Sam here for a second.
God.
There have been two songs that won by exactly 1 point. Do you know what they are?
Ne partez pas sans moi?
That's one. Céline won by 1 point.
Every way that I can? No, that one no. by like, no. No, that won by like two or three.
It won by two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Okay, so then by 1 point. I mean, I suppose you could argue any of the really, really early ones.
This is including those. For as far as we have any sort of points available, there are only two.
Doncevies?
Doncevies was also 2 points.
Oh. Wow. Mm-hmm. I think Sam is just showing off right now. She's playing the long grind here.
I just like thinking about Doncevies as one of my favorites ever. What other one only won by 1 point? I'm going to be sitting here forever, I mean, just naming songs. So, Eric, why don't you just lay it on us?
La 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 by
Ciel
from Spain. La 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 La.
Yeah, that one.
That song, yes. Yeah.
The, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the 1968 winner.
Yes.
For Spain. That was also a 1 point contest.
Over the United Kingdom, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Yeah.
God, there are many silver medals.
Mm-hmm. Over Cliff Richard was the second place of that year.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact. All right, back to big stuff. None of this small margin crap. Biggest score for a non-qualifier was 120 points. That didn't make the final.
So this has to be modern era, modern semifinals.
It is.
Yeah. Was it?
My God.
Was it Poland 2019?
That's right.
Yeah.
Pauly Shay.
Nice.
Arguably should have made it, as we discussed. There are actually six songs that have scored at least 100 points in a semifinal and not qualified. They're all fairly recent. Mm-hmm. We've got Fire of Love.
Sure.
Pauly Shay. TikTok from this year. Uh-huh. Mm. Albina from
Very
Croatia.
Surprised.
Goodbye by the Humans from Romania. Funny
you guys
Girl.
Did love that one.
By
Funny Girl.
By what's her name?
Laura Rizzotto.
Rizzotto. That's it. Yeah.
We get Tony.
Pepperoni's Funny Goyle.
Be nice to her. She's kind of local.
Yeah.
I spent a year in Adina. We can.
That's right. Lyubov Ye.
Oh, what was that one? That was the last Bosnian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bosnian. That's right.
That was the last Bosnian entry. Yeah.
And another nice one that I kind of forgotten about, Taboo by Christabel from Switzerland.
Oh, yes. She was wrong.
Also, yeah. 100 points didn't make it through. So, congrats to all of those songs, I guess, for doing well, but not.
So there's tough years sometimes.
Yeah, we've got a couple other just song stat sort of things. Longest song, back before they had a 3-minute limit, Corde della mia chitarra by Nunzio Gallo from Italy, 57. 5 minutes and 3 seconds.
Yep.
What is that? Here, just strings on my guitar?
Yep, the strings on my guitar. Yep. So technically you could play any Eurovision song nowadays, add Eine Mundpizza, and you would still have like an extra 30 seconds to play with.
Interestingly, 57 is also the shortest contest in history. It was 1 hour and 9 minutes.
Wow.
How many competitors? Like 8?
Something like that, yeah. There weren't a lot.
Yeah, considering that, like, again, 1956, there were 7 countries that everybody sang. Every country had 2 songs.
There were probably
fewer songs in 1957. Let me just double check that.
To the set, Motron!
Yeah, there were 10 entries. Mm. So, yeah.
I keep thinking if, like, a year or two from now, 7 or 8 countries come back and we have to have 3 semifinals.
Well, I don't think it'll be 3.
Well, get it.
Well, you'd have to have a show on, I guess that'd be the Sunday,
yeah.
And then the Tuesday, the Thursday.
Oh, God.
I mean, it could.
Longer vacations for us, I guess.
Sweet.
Yeah. Here's another one for Sam. Biggest song title.
Ooh.
Well, Fall Out Boy never competed, so.
I mean...
Fiona Apple. No.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Do K and K Calypso aus Wien?
No. It is a German title.
Of course it is. Oh, gosh. There's like a really early one with like the twins. It's something like, we want to dance until morning comes. There's something like that. I can't remember the name of it. Wait. I have a feeling something like this might actually happen for our 100th show. So stay tuned for that. Yeah. There might be a quiz coming our way. Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
It's Man gewöhnt sich so schnell an das Schöne. Or How Quickly We Get Used to Nice Things, which is Germany, 1964.
Is that West Germany or East Germany?
Nora Nova was the artist.
There. Okay, the one that I was thinking of was the 59
song. Yeah.
Neil Plant, by the way.
That's Germany.
I was thinking about the 1959 song with Alice and Ellen Kessler with Heute Abend wollen wir tanzen gehen.
Ah.
Or Tonight. We want to go dancing.
Oh, I thought that was the punchline to that Monty Python joke that kills you.
I can't say the one out loud without saying that's a major
only in person. German.
At 34 letters, it is the longest title in history, two more than the second longest, which is Vardo Mess Hunderttausend Serne gibt, which was Austria 1967. That one means why there are 100,000 stars. Is the meaning of that. Which is BS, because there's way more than that.
Well, that's all they could see at the time.
And now I'm just really, really brokenhearted that Estonia in 2013 didn't send Meo Kundi Mesu Korsakova Selelati.
Yes.
Which was just, which
would we have wrote been... for Anna Kornikova at Wimbledon.
Yes.
Is what that means, I believe.
Give or take.
Yeah.
Oh, Danny. I'm going to have to show you that one at some point.
I'm going to hate it.
You're going to love gonna it. Oh, you're going to
hate it. Oh, Christ.
Yeah,
you're going to hate it, but we're all going to love it.
And this is just what the 100th episode is going to be. It's just going to be, you know, quizzes, and then Danny is going to be forced to watch Eurovision. You know, really, really awful, bottom-of-the-barrel stuff while clamped into the Clockwork Orange eyelid apparatus.
I think, if anything, if we start branching out into a YouTube channel, which we do technically have, I think we can make this a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, more on that, I think, as time passes.
Yeah, just a couple other large boys to discuss here. Biggest number of languages in a song. Sam, you did the research on this, I believe.
I did, and there were two very close ones at the top. In 1973, the Norwegian song It's Just a Game by the Bendik Singers had 12 languages. It was primarily in English and French, with some bits of Spanish, Italian, Dutch, German, Irish, Serbo-Croatian, Hebrew, Finnish, Swedish, and Norwegian. Close behind was a personal favorite of mine, Bulgaria 2012, Love Unlimited by Sophie Marinova. Bulgarian primarily, with phrases in Turkish, Greek, Spanish, Serbo-Croatian, French, Romani, Italian, Azerbaijani, Arabic, and English.
What is Serbo-Croatian? Like, is the Serbo-Croatian lobby, like, real big over there?
Well, I mean, like, with only a couple of words, you can't really quite tell if it's in Serbian or Croatian or Bosnian. I mean, the languages are really very closely related if you're, you know.
You know, I think that a Sophie Marinova goes great with a Laura Risotto.
Ooh.
Oh. It could. Yeah, red sauce with a risotto.
Yeah.
Get one of Monza's red wines.
Speaking of, I'm going to call it out every show until we can work it out, I think. We need the Mons wine so we can try it on the show.
We really should.
So if you have an in and can get some of this and send it to us, we said this last time, but we'll keep saying it. We will pay for everything. We will make this worth your while. I promise. Just get it to us somehow. Do it. I'm desperate.
Reach out to us. Send us a message on our social media or just email us directly. We'll send you details on how to send stuff over to us.
Yeah.
We would love this to happen.
Our last one, this one's a bit unscientific, but it's kind of fun. So we want to get your feedback on this as well. If you think we're wrong, let us know. The best way to find something out is to say the wrong thing on the internet. So this is going to be perfect. Biggest prop.
The reports that I saw from the 2021 contest was that the Spanish delegation was claiming that the moon that was hovering behind Blas Cantó was 6 meters wide, like 6 meters in diameter. Granted, it was inflatable.
Unless Blas Cantó is like 8 feet tall, which he isn't. I believe he's like 5'3". I believe Blas Cantó is a little poquito.
un poquito.
I would have thought that the chair was bigger. The chair from Love Is Forever from Denmark last year, in 2019.
I also would have wagered that the balloon from Dying to Try from Ireland 2017 was pretty honking massive too.
It was the low camera angle made it look bigger.
Well, see, the moon was
also a tiny man.
The moon was bigger than the mountain that they put the Russian singer in.
That's a good one too.
What about the dress from Estonia?
The Estonian dress.
The moon was probably bigger. Because the moon is like hollow. That was definitely an inflatable moon. Yeah. You don't think they brought an actual moon. You don't think they went up there and they got one.
I saw it rolling down the street. It's massive.
I love, by the way, all of the background footage or like in arena footage of after Blas's performance when they have to quickly deflate the moon to move it,
and they just shoot it and they just go and then it deflates.
Oh no, it's even better than that, because it's just a bunch of people who are like just like punching the moon, like get down, get out of here. Because they have to
push all the air out of it.
It's hilarious. Does that actually help? I don't know. Probably. Probably not as much as they think they're helping. But man, just people just punching the moon until it flattens is awesome. By the way, Wikipedia says Blaz Kanto is 5'7".
What? He's Tom Cruise height?
That's not funny anymore.
He's Samantha Ross height. That's crazy.
Slightly taller than Dan Radcliffe. Okay.
Honestly, for some reason, I was a little surprised as well. I thought you were probably right on the nose, Danny. I don't know why. He just looks like he's 5'3". Apparently not. Maybe it's with the hair he's 5'7". I don't know. But the point is, let us know what you think the biggest prop was. If you have, like, proof, even better. If you don't, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just let us know. Let us know what you think might...
If you smuggled the moon out of the arena and got it into your garage. Let us know.
They're just not allowed to tell us that the biggest prop was Philip Kirkorov. It's not an acceptable answer. Mm-hmm.
Biggest prop was whatever delivered Running Scared to victory.
Oh. Nice.
And with that, folks, you can reach out to us on social media. 12 Points USA at the face and the Twit book. And
do give it to them, because if they can get us that Mons wine, they should DM one of you guys for the address.
Yes, please. Yes. Again, that's 12 Points USA on Facebook or Twitter, or 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. We do read your emails. We do respond, I promise you. Also, if you want to support the site, check out our Redbubble. We've got some really fun merchandise over there. We haven't plugged the Redbubble in a little while. And you know, you never know what sort of random inside jokes that we come up with during these shows will end up on a t-shirt. So, you know, keep on checking that out. It's always fun. And, you know, hopefully we'll run into somebody in Italy wearing that in the press center. And they'd be like, hey, you're a friend of the show. That'd be awesome. It'd be a little awkward, but, you know, no, it wouldn't be awkward. It'd be great. Buy our stuff.
Yeah. Let everyone know that you're a composer, or that you put the rhythm inside, so it's safe from bears. It's important.
Or that you graduated from Chainsaw U.
That's right.
I'm going to be on my deathbed thinking about Chainsaw U. I'm going to be like, and then when I was 29, I... Chainsaw U. And then I die. Just flatline.
Yeah. Your family standing around the bed like, what the hell is he really talking about?
He was not all together there at the end.
Is it a code? Does he have a secret inheritance buried away in the mountains?
Can't believe it.
Quick, get the chainsaws! And on that note, everybody, we will catch you on our next episode. Hopefully we will know where the hell we're going in Italy next year.
Yeah, I expect we'll record once we know what that is.
Yeah, even if it's just a quick Zoom and we'll... Yeah, you know, if it's in the next two days, we'll probably put it on as a little tag or something like that. But there will be more discussions. There will be more craziness to follow. Just keep following us. We'll keep bringing you the randomness. Until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
Yeah, I've been Eric.
And I've been Eddie.
And America.
Stop listening now!